Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Greetings on this summer Thursday in New York City. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. There is a lot to get to. The Mets are playing a matinee at Citi against the Nationals, trying to sweep a division rival. We will keep you abreast of the situation and give you instant reaction on if the Mets are able to pull off the sweep against the Nationals. Plus, the Mets have put out a little trial balloon that may cause a lot of issues amongst fans, and it involves the future of Pete Alonso. We'll get to that later, as well as the New York Yankees, who, despite last night being an uninspiring victory, could be the win that sparks them. And write this down. We do not forget here at Evan and Tiki. At 3:30 today, we promised you something a month and a half ago. All the way back on June 3rd, we told you that on July 11th, you will hear the official sentencing of Sean Morash, who was guilty of crimes against sports humanity from a month and a half ago.
I almost forgot about that.
We all did. Well, coming up at exactly 3:30 today, I have no idea what the sentencing is, but Sean Morash will be sentenced for his crimes coming up at 3:30 today. Now, Tiki, I have to ask you a question.
Please.
And don't take this as an insulting question.
Okay.
Don't take this as a I'm predicting injury question.
I will try not to.
Don't take this as I think Daniel Jones stinks question.
Because he doesn't.
I never said he did. But Daniel Jones has been the quarterback of the New York Football Giants for five seasons, right? This is year number six.
This is correct.
Of the Daniel Jones experiment. And one thing we've noticed throughout his Giants career is he does not play every game. That's just a fact.
Fact.
He doesn't. He doesn't play every game. There was one year in which he would have played every game, and that was 2022, the year that they made the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But because the Giants had a playoff spot wrapped up, in fairness, he sat week 17, or week 18, I think it was, and he didn't play every game that year. But last year, we saw him only start six games. In 2021, we only saw him start 11 games. The Giants even know that Daniel Jones is unreliable because you heard Joe Shane on Hard Knocks the other day say, hey, look, what if he misses the first 3 weeks of the season?
Yep.
We have to have a quarterback. So I think it's that time. July 11th seems like a perfect time to do it, to have a little long-term prediction game around your quarterback, Daniel Jones. How many games is he playing this year?
It's funny because 2 years ago, we had this exact same conversation about Daniel Jones. And it was, Tyrod Taylor is now the backup quarterback. Who should be starting for the New York Giants? Should it be Tyrod Taylor, who has a familiarity with Dabbs and his system? And he's had success in this league. He is a really good, great leader. Great locker room guy type player. How soon until Tyrod Taylor is playing instead of Daniel Jones? And some people were saying, give it to week three.
Mm-hmm.
And I even get to the quarter pole of the season before Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. And what happened? Daniel Jones throws for 3,200 yards. He has 15 touchdowns. He rushes for seven more. He had a pretty damn good season. Took him to the playoffs and beat the Minnesota Vikings. We all know what happened against the Eagles. We'll talk about that at some point later. But still, Daniel Jones, when healthy, is really damn good, right? Not great, but he's really damn good.
He's good enough.
He's right where he's paid.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Right, middle of the road, reliable as a leader, and going to work his ass off as long as he's healthy. So if you're asking me the question, does he deserve to be the starter? The answer is absolutely yes. I can't entertain that he shouldn't over the options that are especially there this year. Now the question becomes, how many games is he going to play?
Yes.
Because of potential injury. I think it was very telling that Joe Shane was questioning whether or not, and specifically, is he going to be ready the first three games of the season?
Right.
Because that's kind of what you worry about when a guy is coming off an ACL. It's not that the ACL is not fixed and he's not healed. It's, is he going to feel comfortable enough to be that guy on game day? And so I think Daniel Jones starts 14 games this season.
14. Hold on a second.
14.
Tiki Barber.
14.
14 of 17.
14 of 17.
By the way,
we're not counting the postseason if they should get there.
No.
If you want to believe that.
No,
we're not counting that yet.
No.
14 regular season games.
I will say as an IFO, if Daniel Jones starts 14 of 17 games, that is a victory.
Huge victory.
That is a win. Because here's the difference also between something you just brought up about 2 years ago. And I made this argument to you last year as well. I like Tyrod Taylor. I've always been a fan of his. I think he's sort of underrated, and he's gotten screwed and has had unfortunate circumstances in a lot of the spots he's been
in. Just bad luck.
A lot of bad luck. I mean, think about what happened with the Chargers. Like, they used a needle on him or something, and all of a sudden he misses a bunch of weeks. I looked at Tyrod Taylor's NFL career, and I said, boy, he's not that far off from Daniel Jones. So you could have had an argument of, is there a moment in a season where Tyrod Taylor just starts over Daniel Jones because he's better? I don't believe that's an argument we're going to have with this current crop of quarterbacks. They did not draft a young replacement. We know what Drew Lock is. At least I think I know what Drew Lock is. Drew Lock is a typical backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I was warming up to Tommy DeVito last year. I was buying into Tommy DeVito last year. And then it all hit the brakes. And they stopped playing Tommy DeVito. So from a talent standpoint, Daniel Jones is the clear guy to play. My fear has always been, can he stay healthy? And I know it's difficult to predict injuries, but like Joe Shane said, the boss of the New York Football Giants, which I think has been made abundantly clear if you've watched Hard Knocks, John Mara's the owner. The buck stops with Joe Shane.
Right.
And that's a good thing, Giant fans.
Of course.
You want that.
Well, it's funny because people make this assumption that John Mara has his hands in the cookie jar. He's not. Maybe he's throwing some cookies in there, but he's not determining what's happening on game day.
I think it's clear as day that he's not.
He's never been that guy, even though it's been a narrative for a decade plus, maybe longer than that, probably 20 years.
You know what's funny? I believe that narrative, but now that I've seen it on HBO, I feel good that it's not true.
By the way, it's one of the benefits of doing Hard Knocks.
Because
John Mara was against it. Always. He's always been against doing Hard Knocks.
Right.
It's intrusive. Guys start acting foolish, and it exposes things that you don't need exposed.
Right.
But I think it made sense this year because it's the 100th anniversary season. There's a lot going on. I think there's a marketing side to this.
Sure.
But it's also the offseason.
Yeah.
You're not talking about games and wins and losses. You're talking about process on putting a team together.
But look, I don't want to be naive on this. Obviously, it's a television show that the Giants had final approval on, and I understand that. So you have to take it face value what you hear. Some of it may be, hey, we know the cameras are watching, and some of it may be reality. What I took out of that, and I think every Giant fan should take out of it, is that Joe Shane knows what I know and what you know, which is that they like Daniel Jones, but he is unreliable to stay healthy.
Yep.
Joe Shane's words, your history matters. And look,
of course it does.
Here's the history of Daniel Jones, just in case you need the numbers to kind of put it through everybody's head. Last season, 1 year ago, Daniel Jones started 6 games for the New York Giants. Tommy DeVito started 6 games for the New York Giants. Tyrod Taylor started 5 games for the New York Giants. It was almost like a nice little split.
Mm-hmm.
6, 6, and 5. 2022, we talked about, that was the year in which Daniel Jones had an absolute full season. He started 16 of 17 games. The only game he didn't start, the Giants had wrapped up a playoff spot. By the way, let's test Loogie. Do you know the quarterback that started the one game in 2022 not named Daniel Jones?
Mike Glennon.
Davis Webb.
Oh, my God.
Remember that?
Oh, hold on. No. Coach Webb.
Coach Webb.
Because he's now a coach.
That's
immediately
right.
Immediately Denver? He's in Denver, right? I want to say Denver. I think Sean Payton scooped him up.
He starts the one game at the end of the season. I think it was against Philadelphia.
Yes.
2021.
He is Denver. Coach Webb of the Denver Broncos.
Coach Webb of the Broncos, right. In 2021, Daniel started 11 games. Mike Glennon, who Loogie was thinking of, started 4. And Jake Fromm started 2. In 2020, Daniel started 14 of those games. Colt McCoy started 2.
I forgot that.
In the midst of the season. And then when you go back to the first year, Eli Manning started 4. Daniel Jones started 12. And one of those intermittent starts by Eli came because Daniel was hurt.
Yeah.
Like, Eli started right away. Daniel replaced him. And then Jones got hurt, and Eli Manning had a swan song. So every single season, maybe not to the extreme of missing an entire season, because he hasn't done that yet, he's missed time. And the options, if Daniel is not starting this year, unless the roster changes, and I don't think it will, is Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
So you just said 14 for Daniel Jones.
I did.
Now, 3 for Tommy DeVito or 3 for Drew Lock?
Honestly, I think it's going to be Drew Lock.
Drew Lock,
and I think,
3.
And so my thinking is different than I think what people are thinking.
Go ahead.
Right. So to me, I'm still worried that Daniel Jones might not be ready by the start of the regular season.
Right. Well, so, I mean, Shane Corner sort of alluded to it.
And the only reason I'm thinking that out loud is because Joe Shane said it yeah. out loud.
Yeah.
Hey, what if our quarterback's not ready for the start of the season? Like, oh, wait a second. Is he even cleared yet for training camp, which is in 2 weeks? I don't know. I saw Daniel a couple weeks ago when I was over there with Jeremy Shockey filming something about Wellington Mara. He said he looked great. Big, strong, strapping, running around, always working out. He looked good. But looking good in your underwear is different. Not literally in your underwear, but non-pads. It's different than being on a football field
oh, yeah.
and being aggressively pursued by a defense. I hope he's ready, but in my mind, I can't help but think that he might not be. So I actually think we could get Drew Lock starting the beginning of the season. That's what you
so
brought
you
him
So you think
for.
The three come at the beginning with
or,
Drew Lock?
Or one or two come right. at the beginning. One maybe in the middle of the year, and at the end, when they make the playoffs, you throw Tommy DeVito a bone.
Oh, when they make the playoffs, like Davis Webb.
Exactly.
I think that your mid-July prediction of the health of Daniel Jones and the Giant quarterback situation leans towards the positive side.
Yes.
Now, to Tommy Lugauer, who's been very positive with the Mets, I don't know if that translates to the New York Giants. How would you predict right now, and I'm writing it down, baby, we don't forget around here, how would you predict the 17 games are started by which quarterbacks?
I think all three quarterbacks will start a game this year.
Okay.
So here's the breakdown.
Let's go.
6 for Daniel Jones.
Wow. That's not positive, by the way.
That means Daniel Jones is no longer a Giant in 2025.
No doubt.
7 for Drew and Natalie Locke. Just throw that in there.
Okay. He just wants to see his wife on television.
It's going to be very popular with Giant fans. And 4 for my guy, Tommy DeVito.
That is a very, very similar breakdown to what happened last year. I mean, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones started 6 games last year. Tommy DeVito started 6 games last year. Tyrod Taylor started 5 games last year. So you are projecting basically what you saw last year is what you're going to see this year.
From a perspective of the quarterbacks,
well, that's what I'm saying,
not necessarily the production of the offense because we have Malik now, but in terms of, and they're going to be explosive with the passing game no matter who's there.
Listen, think with that breakdown they can win 9 or 10 games?
Absolutely, because of Neighbors, and I think Hyatt will be better with Malik, and I think they're just going to be more explosive on offense. Doesn't matter. Again, DeVito has the experience now. Locke, we saw win a game in Seattle there against Philly last year. And DJ, when he's out there, we know will be productive.
You know,
I just can't trust him to be out there.
You know what's so funny about what I think he just laid out, a positive/negative kind of viewpoint on the Giant quarterback situation? In a lot of ways, long-term, that's probably the worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
Because
right.
I don't think any of us believe Drew Locke is the future quarterback of the New York Giants. I don't think anybody believes that.
Even though he is still young, he's not an old. It's not. He's 34 years old, or even 30 years old.
No,
I think he's the same age as Daniel Jones. I'd have to check that. I have to check that.
No, I think you're right. He's definitely in his late 20s.
He's not old, but he's also not the future.
Right, and you've seen him play.
Yeah, of course.
So
I mean, I called one of his games in Seattle last year. He can win you a game.
Yes,
but
he has him starting 7 games this year.
Yeah. So he's 27. He's the same age as Daniel Jones. So
I think
he can win a game. He's not winning you a Super Bowl or taking your franchise onto the next level.
If the Giants are playing 3 quarterbacks at the pace that they played quarterbacks last year, there's a really good chance we're going into the offseason knowing they need to find a quarterback.
Yes.
And I guess celebrating an 8 or 9 win season. I don't know. Unless your attitude going into the offseason is, hey, we're just a quarterback away, which is what the Jets felt for the last 2 years. So there's his prediction. I'll give you mine. And mine is similar to his. Except I don't think the results are going to be good. I guess that's the big difference between you and I. And this is not a knock on Daniel Jones because I tend to agree with you, Tiki. When Daniel Jones plays, he's good enough. That's the way I would phrase it.
Right.
When he is the quarterback for your football team and he is standing upright, he's good enough. Is he Patrick Mahomes? No. Is he Aaron Rodgers in his prime? No. I think you said it best. He's paid to where he's ranked as a quarterback in this league. But I agree with Joe Shane. Like, I just can't imagine that he's going to stay healthy. Because now we're talking about coming back from an ACL, which I understand to your point, Teak. Look, once you're back from it,
yeah.
there's no major fear. You still have to come back from it.
Yeah.
And you have a neck injury that's been on and off for a couple of years that we still don't know that much about.
Yeah, we know nothing about it. Because, according to him, it was just a stinger.
Right.
It wasn't actually a neck injury. We have no idea what the previous neck injury actually was. But this one, could it be an extension of that, the previous one, or it could be nothing.
Right.
We have no idea. And so the health is a big issue. The whip, this current one was a whiplash injury because that was
right.
the Van Ginkle hit. I believe that's when it happened. So some of it is unfortunate. It's just bad luck.
I understand.
Right? He just terrible left tackle. I think it was a guard. Yeah, it was Zudu playing left tackle. Completely whiffs. He gets blindsided. He gets hurt. That's not his fault.
No, but that's a part of the problem. That's a part of why when I tell you that my prediction is Daniel Jones will start 5 games this season.
Oh.
Drew Lock will start 10 games this season.
You think the line is that bad?
It's not that I think it's that bad because, yes, in theory, if Andrew Thomas is healthy,
yes,
which he wasn't last year,
right,
he's been being protected by one of the best left tackles in the league, right?
Yes.
I'm with you on that.
Right.
But it's football. He wasn't healthy last year. That's number one. Number two, as of right now, Evan Neal is starting for this team. Fact or fiction?
No, that's fact.
That's a fact. That's what's happening right now. So, yes, they brought in John Runyon. Good move. Yes, they brought in Jermaine Illuminor. Good move, we think at least. And, yes, John Michael Schmidt should be better in another year of experience. But Evan Neal's still starting. So I still look at this offensive line. While on paper it should be better, you said it to me last year. You said, hey, look, it's not all Daniel Jones' fault.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this offensive line.
Yep.
How should we be that confident that it won't happen again?
Yeah, well, you can't be unless you look at some of the other changes. And Lugie hit on them. There are so many playmakers on this team right now. There are, like, we know that the NFL has moved away from running the football. In fact, they're just not committed to it. Most teams are not committed to it. So you can't protect, put that in quotes, you can't protect your quarterback by relying on your run game.
Right.
But when you have elite playmakers all around him, Wandell Robinson and Malik Nabers, and Hyatt's more of a downfield guy, but regardless, you can get the ball out of your hands quickly.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think there's more to this offense, or at least more safety nets to this offense than there were a year ago. It was literally, all right, let's try to throw the ball downfield or hand it off to Saquon. And it felt simple. And once Daniel Jones got hurt, it got even more so. I don't think it's going to be that way this year.
One of the biggest stories that will define the 2024 New York Football Giants will be how often Daniel Jones plays. To the Giant fan out there, as we sit here just a few weeks before training camp, just days after Joe Shane said in front of the world, I don't know if he's going to be healthy. What is your expectation on how often Daniel Jones is quarterbacking this football team? We'll get your calls, 888-808-1019. Tiki gave you a very positive look. I think he's out there for 14 of 17 games, which would be tied for the second most games Daniel Jones has ever played in a season as quarterback of the New York Giants. I'm looking at 4. Which I admit, it would be the fewest games Daniel Jones has played as quarterback of the New York Football Giants. But that's the ultimate question. We've spent so much time talking about, is he good? Does he need more talent and this and that? It comes down to, is he going to play football? Because even Joe Shane isn't sure. 888-808-1019. We'll get to some of the other quarterback battles in the NFL. Plus, we'll move on to the baseball later as well. Are the New York Mets floating out a crazy idea just to see if fans are going to revolt? We'll take the temperature of that and why I do believe last night's the turnaround game for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. And we will have the sentencing of Sean Morash in 1 hour and 11 minutes. We are live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Yeah! By the way, just to keep you posted, the Mets and the Nationals are scoreless. They're playing a matinee out at Citi Field. Always love that. Day games, and I'm stuck here inside with TT. I'm just kidding. I love being with you.
Of course
it has
you
nothing
do.
To do with you.
At least I'm allowing you to watch it on television.
That's a very good point.
No soccer on today.
That's right. Oh, that would have been a battle. I did hear that Team USA fired the coach.
Yeah, Greg Berhalter is gone.
Good move.
I mean, it was a necessary move. They are hot to trot for Jurgen Klopp, who is former Liverpool manager, but I don't think Klopp is going to manage at all.
Is he an American?
No, he's German. But
is that frowned upon, or do we hire non-American?
I don't think it matters. In fact, all of the names that are being thrown out there, Thomas Tuchel, Klopp, Pochettino, not Pochettino, there's another one, they're all European.
Really?
They all were managing over in the Bundesliga and in the Premier League, etc. I don't know if there's a front-running American option, except for Jesse Marsh, but he's coaching Canada.
I say this very naively, and I know that in the Olympics, sometimes the Canadian coach will be from Venezuela or what have you.
Yes.
But I don't know. We can't find an American coach for the American soccer team?
Just for clarity here, yes. The the Olympic coach is different than the World Cup coach.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It's not even the same team.
Interesting.
The Olympic is, you have to be 23 and under.
Gotcha.
And you get three, I think, exceptions that are veterans. It's not even the same team that we saw at Copa.
Here's what I know. When the United States competes in the World Cup, we've already qualified because we're hosting the World Cup. I already know that.
Right?
And you know what? When the World Cup comes around, I'll be damn excited. We've talked football to start. We got a lot of baseball to get to. The Yankees are going to play a huge game tonight, the rubber game of their three-game series against Tampa Bay. And there's a lot of Met talk, especially reacting to how they do today this afternoon against the Washington Nationals and the trial balloon they're throwing out there on a potential trade that may cause Met fans to lose their freaking minds. But Daniel Jones will be the focus once this giant season begins. And the question really remains, how often is he going to be out there? Whenever we've had these Daniel Jones discussions on sports talk radio for the last 6 years, especially over the last year and a half to 2 years, I start to resent the "we don't know what Daniel Jones is" thing. Because I think we do know what Daniel Jones is.
Yeah.
I think he's a solid average quarterback. What we don't know about him is, will he play? Because he's been unreliable to stay on the field.
Yes.
But this idea of, like, we're scouting him for the first time and we're not sure what he is, I feel pretty confident and comfortable that I know what he is.
Yes. You know exactly what he is. You know what he can be when he's really good. I think the bad, like the really bad, has gone away. And that was what we saw early in his career. A lot of interceptions, a lot of fumbles. I think that side of his game has completely changed. The thing you worry about is health.
That's it.
That's the unavailability is the thing that frustrates you most about him.
Last year, Daniel Jones started 6 games. Tiki Barber predicts this year he will start 14. Tommy Lugauer says it'll be 6 again. I'm at 4. What say you? Let's kick it off with Angelo and Howard Beach. What's up, Angelo?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Not much. So I'm actually, you know, very excited about the Giants' offense this year, as much as I try and convince myself not to be. I think the improvement that they made to the line, getting proven NFL-caliber veterans instead of rookies, you know, bringing in a number one receiver finally, even something like replacing, you know, Barkley, who's obviously great, but with a guy like Singletary, who's not going to – we're not going to be no second and 12s, third and 11s. Like, he moves the ball. You know, we're going to be getting four, you know, staying out of obvious passing downs. I think all that contributes to kind of protecting Daniel Jones. So it's like, I feel like I can confidently say he's going to play. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think what you're getting at, Angelo, is the talent is just better. It's better.
Well, especially at the skill position.
I mean, you feel
like he's got major weapons for the first time.
Yes, the skill positions are better. The offensive line has depth. I don't know if they're going to be like exponentially better than last year, but if Andrew Thomas is healthy, which he wasn't last year, they'll be fine on the left side because Illuminor, who is slated right now, I think he's slated right now to start at left guard. He's a good veteran player. You hope that John Michael Schmitz makes a jump in his second season. And at right guard, you're set with John Runyon. So, like, there's good talent up front. It's just a matter of everybody staying healthy. Last year, injuries crushed them. So I think it's easy to get excited, but it's also easy to feel a little bit cautious. And so that was, I mean, he's right. I think that's how a lot of Giants fans feel.
Tom is calling from Ronkonkoma. How you doing today, Tom?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
I got two things. First, I want to just give you my take on what's going to happen this season. And then second, I just got a quick question for Tiki.
Go ahead.
So first, I love the optimism by Tiki. You know, would you say 14 games, right?
For Daniel Jones, yes.
And then, Evan, what'd you say?
I said four. Four was the number, yes. Quattro.
I hate to say it. I think two. To be honest.
Two?
Jeez.
What?
I think two. I think what's going to happen is the first game of the year, he's going to come in. He'll look a little shaky. I think the first time he takes a big hit by game two, I think he's going to be out. I just have a feeling that something's going on with that neck, and that's going to be what I'm going to ask Tiki on this question.
It's the one we don't have clarity on.
My game is going to be game two. I think he's going to go out. I think the next 10 games is going to be Drew Lock. I think by 10 games in, he's going to be okay. He's not going to be spectacular. He's not going to be terrible. I think he got mentored pretty good by Geno Smith.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to give you 10 games, and then I think Tommy DeVito is going to finish his season off with 6 or 7 games. And he's going to be good to make things worse because by the end of the year, you know, when he comes in at the end of the year, I think he's going to be good like he was last year. And people are going to get optimistic, and then there'll be more uncertainty. But my question for Tiki is, so obviously you're a Giant, and you were on the Giants and everything. I know you weren't on there when they were 0-4 and 0-5 to
right.
start the season, but when they started off those seasons so poorly, as a professional athlete, like, what's going through your head when you're 0-2, then 0-3, then 0-4? Like, what do guys do in the locker room in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I don't think I had any 0-4 starts in the first quarter. I'd have to look that up. But the answer is easy. It's still so early. It's, as Aaron Boone would say, it's all in front of you.
Right.
I mean, I'm being honest. Like, if you start 0-2, especially 0-2, because that could be circumstantial. I mean, if you're getting your doors blown off,
right.
maybe it's like, dude, we're just not good enough. But in football, that rarely happens. I mean, there's a reason that spreads very rarely get into double figures, because there's not that big of a gap. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I think if you start out 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, it's kind of like, all right, we still can control our season, our destiny. Let's just win them all. But once you get to like 0-6, like that's when you're starting to
right.
like, am I going to be here next year? Right? You start worrying about your job security.
Sure.
And so that's the hard thing. When it starts to permeate questions about, am I even going to be here next year? That's when it gets really hard.
I think I would assume if you're getting your asses kicked, like you mentioned, and you're 0-4, guys could look around and say, we're terrible.
Yes.
And we know we're terrible.
Yes.
But I would think going into most seasons, guys believe their teams are better than what they actually
yeah, and,
are.
And by the way, if you are one of those, because there have been teams like this, the Detroit Lions, you know, in Tampa in some of these years, in a different era, but you know what I mean. Right, you just knew you were bad before
right.
the season started.
Right.
Right. The expectation wasn't great, and you knew you were rebuilding. It's different when you don't know you're rebuilding and you stink or you can't win.
Right.
So that's the challenge.
So the guys on the Giants right now, especially the guys that have been here,
mm-hmm.
right? Not the rookies, not Malik Nabers, it's new to him, not Devin Singletary, who you added, but guys that have been here for a few years. They go into this season thinking we're going to win 11 games? Or do players not even think that?
I don't know. I don't know if they talk about it like that. I think it's they just think they're going to be good.
Mm.
Like defensively, they should be good. New defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen. Scheme's going to be different. 3-4 is going to be more gap. You know, security is not going to get gassed in the run game like we did a year ago. Maybe, you know, the sacks and the interceptions and all those things go down. But I think that ultimately they're better. They're more stable. They're more consistent, right? Because that was the problem last year. There were games where it was like, man, Wink is just awesome. He's just getting after these teams. And other teams would be so ready for it that we'd get gashed.
Right.
And so I think the consistency defensively, along with some really good young players, including Brian Burns, who was traded and signed here, is going to make it much more flat as far as roller coaster. It's not going to be this up and down, up and down, up and down like we always see.
Mike in Ramtown. How you doing today, Mike?
Hey, Evan, Tiki. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Good.
Hey, just wanted to talk about Tiki. I love you, brother, but you're talking about the Giants skill position players?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't see where they are. I see a tight end that you lost Waller and you got Bellinger.
Bellinger's better.
I see. Okay. All right.
Because he's available.
He's still not a top 15 tight end.
It doesn't matter. But keep going.
Okay. Yes, sir. You have Jalin Hyatt, who's a gimmick wide receiver.
He's a take the top off the defense wide receiver. Every team needs one.
Okay, I like our back and forth. Yeah. I like our back and forth.
This is the most respectful debate of all time. Imagine Biden and Trump doing this. Thank you, sir. Okay, great answer. Disagree. Let's move on. I'm sorry. Continue on.
Okay, we have Malik Nabers. He's a rookie.
Stud. Going to be a stud. He's an LSU guy. I mean, I can only go off previous precedent.
So is Jamarcus Russell.
That was a different. This was before LSU became wide receiver. I mean, I'm trying to think of the last one.
Jefferson,
Terrace Marshall, who went to a terrible situation.
What about Singletary? Now you're definitely going to a downgrade from Barkley.
Yes, you are, because you don't have the home run ability that Saquon Barkley had with Devin Singletary. But Devin Singletary, as a caller called earlier, is so consistent and reliable. I called a couple of his games last year. He was in Houston. And he makes plays happen. Not big plays, but you're never getting negative yardage. You're not looking at second and nine. It's always he catches the ball out of the backfield, he finds a hole, and they have so much like depth in the running back room. I think there's going to be a lot of variability. Like, I don't know what Eric Gray's future is with this team, but Tyrone Troisi is pretty exciting, who was a wide receiver in college. Now he's a running back, so he can do both. This kid, Dante Miller, who they signed in free agency, I'm really intrigued to see who he is and what he's all about, because he's a burner. So they have like this unique combination of talent. I don't know where they are, but all I'm saying is that it's so much better than it was last year.
Before I decide as a judge if I'm on team Mike in Ramtown, the Giants still suck offensively, or if I'm on team Tiki, let me just say this, and this is a complete recreation, like it's 1925. This is not live. This is a recreation. Here's the pitch to Nimmo. Hit in the air to left center field. It's going to go up the alley and all the way to the wall. One run will score. Two runs will score. Three runs will score. And the most clutch player in the sport, the all-star snub himself, Brandon Nimmo, has cleared the bases. Some may say, let's go, Brandon. And the Mets take a 3-0 lead. That happened about a minute and a half ago in the Met game. They're up 3-0. Mackenzie Gore is out. Now,
so, Mike, that means that he wasn't listening to a word you said or I said.
No, that's not true. And I'll tell you why I agree with you, okay? And take away the questions around Daniel Jones' health, because I've made that clear.
Assume Daniel Jones is healthy for this part of the conversation.
Yeah, the skill position room. The wide receiver room specifically for the New York Football Giants for the last 3 years has been, in my opinion, the single worst room in the NFL.
Right. And even when they had Wandale Robinson, he was hurt.
Correct.
Right. Jalen Hyatt was a rookie, so, and they couldn't use him.
So think about this. And look, am I taking a leap of faith that Wandale Robinson in year number three blossoms? I am, of course. Am I taking the leap of faith that, as Mike called him, the gimmick wide receiver, Jalen Hyatt in year number two, but as a guy that can take the top off of a defense, is going to take a big step? I am. Am I also taking, you know, the little bit of leap of faith that Malik Nabers is as good as every single human being and Brian Daboll thinks he is?
Dog.
Sure. Dog. And I've always liked...
That was a Brian Daboll quote, by the way.
That was. He copied it from Luke. And I've always liked Darius Slayton and Isaiah Hodgins, but right. I've always known that they're not number ones. They're not number twos.
Yeah.
I look at that room, IFO. I look at that room, and I say, how could you not think that is significantly better than the crap we've watched for the last half a decade?
And that's all I'm saying.
I agree with you.
I'm not saying it's the Minnesota Vikings or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that have these elite top-end, you know, duos or trios, but it is so much better than what it's been.
Well, I this is off the top of my head, and this is not a fair ranking, but I think over the last few years, the Giants have ranked either 31st or 32nd in wide receiver rooms in the NFL. And I remember having that argument on the air with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the Bears are worse. Whatever. I would venture
the
now.
The Bears might be one right now,
well,
by the way.
That's different. Things have changed. Things have changed with the Giants.
They might be number one right now.
You may be right. I would venture to say, as we start to look closer and closer at rosters, that they're probably 20 now, which is, no one's saying it's top five.
No.
We're saying it's significantly better than what we've witnessed the last few years. Now, have they downgraded at running back? Of course they have. Like, I totally understand what you're saying about Tyrone Troisi and Devin Singletary and all that, but the truth is Saquon Barkley was a hell of a player.
Yep.
And he's not there anymore.
He was a home run threat every time he touched the ball.
That's right.
Now, he'd also go negative yardage. He'd also get hurt a lot, but that's why they have six running backs.
That's right.
It's there for a reason.
4-0, Mets. 4-0. They need to get 12 outs to sweep a three-game series of the Washington Nationals.
I told you they were sweeping these two homestand game series.
Well, first of all, they haven't swept any of the series on the homestand. So do me a favor. Don't take bows until the bows are worthy of taking.
I can't mush it. I'm not a Met fan.
You can still mush it by saying
No, I can't.
Wait a second. It's 4-0 Mets?
Dude, they're already in the bullpen.
Yeah. You know what I got to do since it's 4-0 Mets?
Oh, stop. Stop with the emotional
FanDuel Sportsbook.
Oh, my Lord. Loogie, would you talk, please?
Plus 1,600.
Connor, so turn off his mic so we don't have to hear this.
I could bet $100 on the Nationals
this
and
win. Loser fandom that he's espousing right now.
Negative Evan, positive Tommy over here. I just want to ask Tiki one question here. I need your blessing on something.
Go ahead.
Thunder and lightning. We've seen earth, wind, and fire. Devin Singletary's nickname is Motor, and Dante Miller's nickname is Turbo. Do we have a new, not a thunder and lightning, but two fast guys? Let's get ahead of this, Motor and Turbo. We got to come up with something unique and fun for this room.
Yeah. That is dope.
Giants have had a long history of nicknames with
the running backs. But they need to stay like consistent and healthy.
Yeah, you got to earn the nickname.
You got to earn it.
Got to earn the nickname.
No, I don't know. I mean,
but we could brainstorm it now, though.
I don't think you need to earn it.
Really?
It was anointed to Ron Dane and myself.
Oh, really? You guys didn't earn it before you got the nickname?
It was literally a play call.
Oh, wow.
Give me Thunder 21. I write, whatever.
So how did it get public for all of us to know then if it was just a play call? Like, did you admit it was publicly or did someone else?
No, because the first game we played, and we had a caller tell us this story.
Yeah.
The first game in 2000, the year we went to the Super Bowl, is Ron Dane's rookie season. Drafted Heisman Trophy winner. We play the Arizona Cardinals. And right before the game starts, there is a massive thunderstorm that runs through. Thunder and lightning. People, you have to clear the stadium.
Right.
Like, get out of the seats because there's thunder and lightning. It clears really quickly. Sun comes out. What happens? I have this ridiculous touchdown run where I start all the way to the right and go all the way back to the left and scored, you know, diving into the end zone. Ron Dane has, I don't know, 50 or 60 yards. Later in the game, I rip off like a 78-yard touchdown. And after the game, our fans started to say thunder and lightning, or in our locker room, we were talking about thunder and lightning.
Wow.
And it was thunder and lightning game, but it was really just our play call.
I like that.
So we became thunder and lightning.
That is badass. 5-0 Mets, RBI double, Pete Alonso. We've been playing this fun game today, predicting how many starts each Giant quarterback will have this season. Tiki has been more optimistic. I've been a little negative. Let's go to Steve in Staten Island. What's up, Steve?
How's it going, guys? How you been today?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
All right, so I think we could play the same exact game with the Jets.
why would we want to do that?
I'm listening to this, and I'm like, I feel like we're talking about the Jets, not even the Giants, to be honest with you. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm probably more aligned with Lugie on where he is with how it's going to go, but I think on the Jets side of things.
Okay, touche.
I'm going to go 8-8 for Rodgers.
Ooh.
And I'm going to go 4 for Taylor. And I'm going to say that neither one of them is going to have anything to do with the offensive line. It's going to be just their own doing, right?
Oh, my God.
And then I'm going to say the rest of the games, because I don't know about the Florida State guy, because I feel
Jordan
like he might not be ready.
Right.
Right. He either might not be ready or they don't want to put him at risk for the future, whatever. Is somebody not even on the roster for the rest?
Well, Steve, you have completely brought down our day. We were all having a nice time today, and then you took my game, which was a fun, innocent game created by Joe Shane, and you turned it on us. But you know what?
And you just bought season tickets.
Yeah, you're damn right
I did. And that's not what you bargained for.
No, I didn't.
But you know what? Let's play the game. You want a New York Jets quarterback start game? Fine. Mm-hmm. We'll play the game. Steven Staten Island, I just wrote it down, is on record. 8 for Aaron Rodgers. 4 for Tyrod Taylor, and then 5 for somebody not on the roster.
Yeah,
and he's right about that. Because, and I've made this point before, right now on their roster, they have Aaron Rodgers, they have Tyrod Taylor, they drafted Jordan Travis. I'm not sure what his timetable is health-wise.
Neither.
But I would assume he is not playing in 2024.
Yeah, this is kind of like a redshirt draft. The draftee.
Yes.
That's what he feels like.
Which is also a great pick.
Right. Andrew Peasley, who was an undrafted free agent, is also on the roster.
Andrew
out of
Peasley
out of Wyoming.
Jeez. So it could be Andrew Peasley. It could be Tim Boyle. It could be Trevor Siemian.
Or it could be whoever they find from somebody else's practice squad in week 8.
That is true. So Steven Staten Island gave a very negative opinion. Tiki Barber, I let you go first.
16.
Really?
Yep.
16
and
for
Aaron? It's only because they win 13 games and he doesn't play the last game.
Oh, yeah. And that one game is obviously Tyrod, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one for boy, I tell you. I want to hug you right now. All right, positive Lugie. Can't wait to hear how positive he is about this Ets team.
You know what, Evan? You're right. I am positive. Tommy, my positivity has led to this Mets run, and I've been asked by Jet fans, even though I'm a Giant fan, hey, Loogie, can you give some of that positivity to the Jets? And I've thought about it, and you know what? I'm going to.
Oh.
Aaron Rodgers, I'm the same with Tiki. We'll miss one game. It's the last game of the year. Jordan Travis will start it.
Wow.
And it's because Aaron Rodgers is resting for the playoffs.
Wow.
They will play the Ravens. We will do a show from Baltimore, the Inner Harbor.
So, nice. Are you going even more specific about right. this? Does play Sydney, the Ravens
does
in the
Sydney
playoffs.
Does Sydney live in Baltimore or something?
I hope so.
Trust me, she does not live
I
in Baltimore.
I don't think so. I was just wondering why we're doing a live show from Baltimore.
I made a huge mistake allowing Tiki and Loogie to go first, because now anything I say, I'm the negative guy.
Of course.
And this is honestly how I feel about this.
Backfired on you yesterday, by the way.
What did I do yesterday?
That's attendance.
I was right about it yesterday.
I know, but you let us go first, and you've adjusted yours up because of our positivity.
Yeah, yeah. Real quick on that, just to understand what Tiki's talking about. The Mets got a 31,000 crowd on Tuesday, which was a huge crowd, and we weren't sure if it was over $5 food or the soccer giveaway. And I said, really, the key to finding out is going to be how do they do the next night? You know, great weather, same opponent, mm-hmm. how do they do? Mets are playing well. And Tiki said they'll do the same. Loogie said they do better. I said they'd do worse, and I started by going lower than where I went. I started at 24, ended at 27. They only had 24,000 last mm-hmm. night.
You were right.
Which shows you, yeah, I was right. Not that I want to be right about that, but that the Mets only draw when they give you free stuff or they give you cheap food, even with them playing really well.
Right. They've been great.
Yes. More on that later. But here is my official Aaron Rodgers Jets quarterback prediction. I think Aaron Rodgers will play 12 games this season.
Hmm.
Now, the key to that wow. number being good or bad is when does he play those 12 games?
Okay.
And my feeling is it will be a middle-of-the-season injury. I think he will play the first six games. I think he will miss the middle five. And then I think he will conclude by playing the last five. I know that math doesn't work out or something.
Right.
Yeah, 6-5-6. I think that does work out, right? 6-5. No, it doesn't work out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 6-5-6. Yes, yeah. That's how I think it goes, which is not the worst thing in the world. Get off to a good start. Survive while he's out. Now, my problem is I've always thought that as much as I love Tyrod Taylor, he's unreliable to stay healthy. So my opinion is he won't play the five remaining games. He'll play four of the five, mm-hmm. and there will be one game in which a third quarterback will be forced to play, and I believe that quarterback is not on the Jets roster. So for the sake of this, I will just say it's Tim Boyle. Because, you know.
Because why not?
Because why
it's a
not?
Name you know and very familiar with. Well, not for any positive reason.
And because Aaron Rodgers and Nate Hackett love him.
That's true. Well, they're just familiar with him.
They're familiar with him. So I'm going 12 for Rodgers, 4 for Tyrod Taylor, and 1 for Tim Boyle.
Now, 1 for a player to be named later.
Player to be named later. Do you think that is a negative prediction?
That is a negative prediction.
Is it really?
I think Aaron Rodgers is healthy the whole season.
I mean, I hope so.
I just feel it. He feels motivated. He's talking about winning Super Bowls. Got crying fans at American Century out in Lake Tahoe crying to him.
You know how many people said to me that they thought that was me crying to Aaron Rodgers? There is a guy, he feels on the younger side,
really?
Who met Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if we have the audio of this or yeah. if it's clear enough, but the guy or kid says, I just won a Super Bowl, Aaron. Just won. And he's like hysterical crying.
Uh-huh.
And the reason no one would say that was Beningo is because Beningo wouldn't cry.
No, of course not.
He's too
not.
Masculine
he'd
for that.
He'd be mad at you. He'd be like, yeah. Give me a damn Super Bowl.
Exactly.
What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
Paying you all this damn money?
You know, you want to run for VP, bro? Let me tell you something.
Win a Super Bowl first.
Exactly. I'm the crier, which is probably pretty accurate. I am a crier. But I don't think that that prediction is that negative. Because I think that the Jets are good enough to survive five games without Aaron Rodgers. Are they good enough to survive a whole season without Aaron Rodgers? They showed you last year
nope.
that they were not.
Nope.
Now, I think they're better equipped to do that this year if Tyrod Taylor is staying healthy and starting most of those games. Because I would venture to argue if Tyrod Taylor was the Jet quarterback last year and stayed relatively healthy, they would have made the playoffs.
Good point.
Here's why I'm not going to give it a positive or negative, because you have to answer this question, Evan.
Go ahead.
It's been years since we've seen Aaron Rodgers play at an elite level. What type of player are you getting for those 12 games, in your opinion?
I think if he's good, not even elite, good, that will be enough. Because remember, as great as it would be to see him play like an MVP, the Jets, and this is not arrogant, I think this is factual, are good enough where all they really need is adequate to good quarterback play,
yeah.
and they're a playoff team, and maybe they even win the AFC East. That's the way I view this thing. Let's go to Andrew and Shirley. What's up, Andrew?
guys. I got to break down how much of an honor it is for the call. I got Giants legend Tiki Barber. I got my favorite host in Evan Robertson, former co-host on your podcast. And I got my favorite producer, Tommy Lou Gower. So thanks for having me on.
It's like a dream team. Thank you very much, Andrew.
You don't know Connor yet, but he's pretty stellar, too.
Stellar.
Oh, listen, once he greets me by name, we'll be cool.
Nice.
We'll be cool.
Nice.
I want to get to the Giants point. You know, you brought it up really, really well, Evan, where you wanted to break down, hey, where's the skill positions or the wide receiver room going to rank, you know, when it goes into the season? If it's top 20, you look at that as a big improvement. And I look at the offensive line as the same thing. We go from the worst offensive line in this century, and that's basically statistically true.
Yeah.
If they got up to, let's call it 22, 21, I know that's ambitious at this point, but let's say it jumps those spots with a top 20 wide receiver core, or let's say weapons, that's probably the best combination of those two things that Daniel Jones has ever played behind in his career.
No, you're right.
Let alone that playoff run. That would be the best combination of, let's call it, rankings that he would play off to his career to this day. So, of course, I would sign up for that, and I think that would be a huge difference as to why you see a quote-unquote new high ceiling for Daniel Jones and the Giants offense.
Yeah, so much of what the success for the Giants this year, it's going to be a couple of things. Health, obviously, but it's also, don't forget, that Brian Daboll is taking over, at least currently, play calling.
Mm.
And so whatever the vision is for this offense, you're going to get it from the guy whose vision it is. And it's not interpreted. It's not, you know, getting passed through. It's exactly what Dave's wanted to be. And Dave's made his name for himself doing that with Josh Allen up in Buffalo. So there is hope for optimism. Obviously, it's cautious optimism because there's so many other factors that could get in the way here. Is the roster perfect? No. But it's much better than it's been in a while.
Coming up at 3:30, the sentencing of Sean Morash for a crime against sports sanity. We'll let you know what that was coming up at about 3:30. We'll get to more of your calls next at 888-808-1019. And as you guys may recall, DJ Reed said something prior to last year's Jets season that caused a lot of controversy, and it was something that stuck with the Jets for the rest of the year. Did a New York Giant just commit the same act? We'll explore it coming up. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.